Good morning, friends. We come to you this morning with a digest of the Gospel through John. We've had Matthew, Mark, Luke. Now we're in the Gospel through John, this wonderful Gospel which so many people enjoy and love. And again, I would like to remind you that if Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not God manifest in the flesh, we have no Savior. We have no revelation of the heart of God. How in the world are we going to know God if Jesus of Nazareth is not God manifest in the flesh? And the whole doctrine of the New Testament falls to the ground if Jesus of Nazareth is not what he claimed to be. Now we found that in John chapter 20, verse 31. The purpose of the writing of this gospel, that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing we might have life in his name. It's an amazing thing as you study this gospel through John, if I might mention this. You would expect that the word Jesus would rarely be in this gospel where it reveals to us that he's the Son of God. Jesus is his earthly name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And yet, 247 times you have his name Jesus in the 21 chapters of John's Gospel. Even though this is the Gospel of the deity of Christ, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. The main title used for our Savior is Jesus. This to me is an astounding thing. Another remarkable thing about John's Gospel, in all the signs given to us, never once in John's Gospel did he cast out demons. Now, this is where you would expect to find it. Never once. Where do you find that? For the most part, in Luke's Gospel. It's true you have it in Matthew and Mark, but never in John, mostly in Luke. Why? As we said last week, in Luke's Gospel we have Jesus as the Son of Man. As a man, he came into the midst of the human family and found them under the authority of the powers of darkness. And he came to set men free. He's the sinner's Savior. But in John's Gospel, the great issue is not that. Is this Jesus the Son of God? And as we said yesterday, in a few words of introduction to this Gospel, John is giving to us the one great theme of his heart, that his Savior, this one whom he handled, this one whom he saw, this one whom he heard, this one with whom he lived for 3.5 years, is none other than the Son of God. And the Apostle Paul turns around and tells us that God marked this Jesus of Nazareth out from everybody else as his Son. I know there are those today that say that Jesus is the Son of God just as we are. Now, it's true that we have come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that we can say with John, beloved, now are we the sons of God, the children of God. Or with Paul, as sons, we are heirs of God. But Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And by the way, when I make that statement, I'd like to point out, too, that the Apostle John is the only one in the New Testament who ever calls Jesus Christ the only begotten Son of God. It's rather strange, isn't it? Nobody else ever calls him that but John. 4 times in the Gospel through John and once in the Epistle. And if you're curious about that, I might tell you in John chapter 1, verse 14, verse 18. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 18. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. These are the only places in the New Testament where Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God, dealing with his deity. John is the only one who is pressing this point that Jesus of Nazareth is God. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that the other writers of the Gospels also bring it out, but this is the great issue of John's Gospel. Is this Jesus of Nazareth God? Now, in chapter 5, verse 36 of this Gospel, Jesus said that the works which he did bore witness of him. Now, remember, He's not proving himself to be the Messiah as such. You had that in Matthew. The great issue I'm raising now is this Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was nailed to the cross and was buried and was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, is this one, God manifest in the flesh. Now, when John writes, as I said yesterday, John is corrective in his writings. And the great Gnostic heresy had swept through the early church. And the Gnostic heresy was that Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh, that he was not deity, he was a high form of creation, possibly higher than the angelic beings, but still a created being. And John is writing to correct this false teaching, which was evident in the first century. And to do this, he chose seven distinct signs. And these seven great signs were given to reveal his person. Now remember, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Just as we had in the other three Gospels, in Matthew, behold thy king cometh. In Mark, behold my servant. In Luke, behold the man who is the branch, the man who is my fellow, saith Jehovah. John, say unto the cities of Judah, behold, rivet your attention upon your God. And John is the revelation of this wonderful fact that Jesus is God. Now I say, he chose seven distinct signs. Now you read in Luke's Gospel, many miracles in Luke, and in John, in Matthew chapter 8 through 10, many miracles by Jesus and by his disciples. When you come to John's Gospel, he picks out seven of them. Three have to do with creation, three have to do with healing the body, and one has to do with resurrection from the dead. He chose seven signs. Now, I recognize also, in chapter 21, the last chapter, after his resurrection, he performed a miracle of the miraculous draught of fishes. But I'm not mentioning that one for the present. Before his death, seven great signs John used. Out of all the miracles and signs our Savior did, he chose seven for the distinct purpose of proving that this Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Three, I repeat, have to do with creation. He turned water into wine. He took five loaves and two fishes and fed a multitude. And then he stilled the storm. Those last two are in chapter 6. Three have to do with healing. He healed a nobleman's son in chapter 4. He healed a man 38 years infirmed in chapter 5. He opened the eyes of a man who was born blind in chapter 9. And then in chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead, a man who had been in corruption 4 days. You see, he chose these to be signs of the deity of the Son of God. The wonderful thing this. And out of these signs, John brought forth the teaching of our Savior. In other words, he precedes most of his teaching with a sign. For example, just for an example, you have it in chapter 6. He fed 5,000 people on five loaves and two fishes. And out of that came, I am the bread of life. In chapter 5, for example, he heals a man 38 years infirmed. Out of this came the opposition of the leaders because he performed it on the Sabbath day. And then following that, we have our Lord's great discourse and proving that he has all authority over life, over judgment, and over death. As I say, his miracles produce certain wonderful truths. Now, you will notice also that the key verse, if I may give you a key verse, would be in John chapter 1, verse 4. The great theme in John is life. How can I get life? Well, God is the only one who is the source of life. And Jesus makes this claim that he is the source of life. For example, in John chapter 5, as the Father hath authority to give life, He's also given to the Son to have life in himself. Or if you have it in John chapter 17, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life, eternal life, spiritual life, is wrapped up in Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Now, let me give you, to my mind, the key verse. In John 1:4, in him is life. In chapter 3, it's everlasting life. In chapter 4, it's the water of life. In chapter 5, it's from death to life. In chapter 6, it's satisfying life. It's resurrection life. It's everlasting life. It's indwelling life. This is chapter 6. In chapter 8, it's from death to life. When he said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In chapter 10, it's abundant life. I am come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. In chapter 11, it's the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you see, in John's Gospel, the only one way you can get life is in him. In him is life. Friend, do you want everlasting life? Do you want satisfying life? May I remind you, life can only come one way, and that's by relationship. And when you come into right relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you receive immediately life, eternal life, satisfying life, indwelling life, abundant life. And there's no other way to get it. I say that very frankly. You can't get it by working for it. You can't get any kind of life by working for it. How did you get your natural life? By birth, by relationship with your parents. How can I get everlasting life, eternal life, satisfying life, abundant life, resurrection life? Through relationship with God. But how can I come to God? Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. In him is life. And friend, if you want life, you must come to Jesus Christ. And this is the theme of John's Gospel. Will you think of it? And tomorrow morning shall we go again into this marvelous Gospel through John. I want you to revel in the Son of God, who is real life. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.